بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. After we spoke about the blood and the pus last week, we continue inshallah. ومني الآدمي, the semen of a human being is pure. What is the دليل it is pure? Of course, the madhab says, Hanbali madhab says, the semen of a human being is pure. What is the proof for the semen of a human being is pure? First, hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is collected by Imam Ahmad. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسلت المنية من ثوبه بعرق الإذخر ثم يصلي فيه ويحطه من ثوبه يابسا ثم يصلي فيه. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to remove yaslut, which is to remove off with the brown gold, and ifkhir, he used to remove with it the money. So removing it with the ifkhir will leave the smell and some of the traces. If it was najas, are you allowed to leave the smell and some of the traces? So that means it's not najas. And if it's a dried off, then she said he used to rub it off. Rubbing it off, if it's a dry, would that be, if it's najas, would that suffice it? No, you have to really wash it off and saturate the clothing with water if it is najas until the smell and the traces and everything goes. طيب. Ibn al-Munzir rahimahullah said in al-Awsat, he said, المني طاهر ولا أعلم دلالة من كتاب ولا سنة ولا إجماع يوجب غسله. Imam Ibn al-Munzir rahimahullah, he said, the money is pure, and I do not know a proof from a book, nor the sunnah, nor consensus obligates washing it off. See? And also, according to analogy to Qiyas, since the mani is the starring of a human being, and clay is what a human being made of, so they are the similar in their ruling. Tin, at-tin, and the mani, they are similar in ruling. What also it is similar to the mucus that comes out of your nose. Yes, it is disgusting, but it doesn't mean it is najas. And if it comes on the clothes, it doesn't mean you cannot pray with the clothing. Tayyib, mafhum? Then he said, rahimahullah, and so is the urine of any creature whose flesh may be eaten. The urine, and the proof for that, that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَأُصَلِّي فِي مَرَابِدِ الْغَنَمِ قَالَ نَعَمْ. A man asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do I pray where the ghanam sleep? يعني مرابد الغنم is the barn where the sheep and the goats are kept. He said, do I pray there? He said, yes, you can pray there. Where those sheep and goats sleep, it means they urinate there and defecate there. If it was impure, then the Prophet ﷺ told him not to pray there. But here he said, yes, you can. That means it is pure. And also, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, where some people came to Medina and they got sick, to go out and drink the urine of the camel as cure. Of course, it doesn't mean it should be put in bottles and drank as cure, but this is for them. Yani at that time, this is some type of medicine they used to use. The dalil behind it, that it is not impure. It is not impure. Anything that you're allowed to eat the flesh of it, then the urine and their stool is pure tahir. The second point I want to talk about is al-khamra. We know khamra, alcohol, is haram. And we're talking in the book about the najasad, aren't we? Khamra is haram. Does it mean, and according to the correct opinion, is it najasa, meaning the najasa of it is physical or spiritual? That's what we want to conclude. If a bit of alcohol came on your thawb, let's just say, or on your na'al, on your shoe, and you stand up for the salat, do you have to clean it and wash it off like urine or not? See, with the widespread of the Salafi da'wah, everyone now, it is as if it is yaqeen, certainty, this is the correct opinion. No. Let's hear the differences of opinion, inshallah, and let us come to a conclusion, and we know why the ulama differed, and what is the reason why the ulama differed. By the way, the four imams and the majority of the ulama that the khamra is najas. What is the dalil? They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. O you who have believed, indeed al-khamr and al-maysir, gambling, and al-ansab, sacrificing stone altars. Wal-azlam, and diving arrows, are but defilement from the work of Satan, so avoid it that you may be successful. And they said, yani, rijis is najis, filth. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, قُلْ لَا أَجِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَىٰ طَاعِمٍ يَطْعَمُهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مَيْتَةً أَوْ دَمًا مَسْفُوحًا أَوْ لَحْمَ خِنْزِيرٍ فَإِنَّهُ رِجْسٌ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, I do not find in whatever Allah has revealed to me has been prohibited on someone, يعني على طاعمٍ يطعمه, on someone who eats it, except, يعني there is nothing haram except what the ayah is going to specify, إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ مَيْتَةً, except if it's a maita. What is the maita? An animal halal to eat but did not die according to the sharia. Aw daman, blood. Masfuh, blood that gushes forth. We spoke about it. Aw lahma khinzir, or flesh of swine. Fa'innahu rijs. It is indeed rijs. Rijs is filth. And they said the rijs is then impure. So what we need is the khamra. Here he said, tayyib. So we understand this is the dalil. That they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it rijis, work from al shaytan, and the rijis is najas, filth, impure. Tayyib. So the khamra is impure. Tayyib. Now how do we come back and hear the other opinion? The other opinion says, no, it is not najas. It is not najas. The najasa is spiritual, because it intoxicates you. Because it intoxicates you, and this is when it is haram. Like, for example, the marijuana, the drugs like cocaine and amphetamines and all that type. Is that najasa, yani, touching it? Touching it. Is it haram? That's the issue. Here, that's the issue. Or just the act of intoxication is haram, then, which is we call spiritual. Here, the correct opinion, inshallah, that it is not najis. How do we, what is our proof, and how do we put our proof forward? First, the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, and it's found in Bukhari. When the khamra was prohibited, the people come out and poured it on the streets. And we know that pouring najasa, filth, on the street is not allowed. That's why you cannot urinate on the road. So to pour najasa, like urine, is not allowed. So how about pouring alcohol? It is the same thing. So the Sahaba never understood that it is filthy in itself. Then, secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it was revealed to him that it is haram, he never ordered the companions to wash the pots, as he did when he ordered them to wash the pots for the domestic donkeys. In the day of Khaybar, he sent a caller between the people to tell them that it's been prohibited. When he asked what people are cooking, they said, humur ahliya. He said, send a caller to tell him to throw it. Allah indeed made it haram, and to wash the pots. The Prophet ﷺ never told him to wash the pots from alcohol. And if it was najis, I would have told him to wash it. طيب. Also, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith in Sahih Muslim. He came with a pot of khamra to give it as a gift to the Prophet ﷺ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, don't you know it is prohibited? Then a man came to that man who was giving the gift. He whispered in his ear, he said, go and sell it. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, what did you whisper in his ear with? He said, I told him to sell it. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who made it haram, he made it haram to sell it. Then the man poured it out and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never told him to go wash it or do anything. And the last dalil, and it's an important dalil, that the basic principle about everything to be piwa unless it's proven not piwa. So if someone would say, how can you say it is piwa if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is najas? And the ayah said it is rijs. And the ayah says, from amal, min amal al-shaytan. It's a work of the devil. Here we say, the rijs and amal al-shaytan, it is an act of the devil. For example, al-maysir, gambling. Gambling table. Are you allowed to touch it or it becomes najas? Allah in the ayah said, that gambling, in the ayah. But it doesn't mean you cannot touch it, move it. For example, of course, selling a gambling table is haram. If you're a person who has a business that sells tables, to sell a gambling table is haram. And that is what the ayah says. And we spoke and we said previously that not everything that is haram to eat means it's najas. And we gave example, poison. We said poison is haram to eat or drink, but it doesn't mean it's najas. Based on this, using the Dettol and a similar substance which has contained alcohol in it, that purification, that purifies it from the cuts and the wounds, is it allowed? Yes, it's allowed. Tayyib, the perfume that you spray, you know the perfume, the spraying perfume, which is has some percentage of alcohol, is it haram? We say, no, it's not haram. Is it the best to avoid this type of perfume? Then it is the best. خُرُوجًا مِنْ خِلَافِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. To stay away from the difference of opinion of the ulama, especially that al-a'imma al-arba'a, the four great imams, have said it is najasa. Mafum? To stay away and use the oil-based perfume. For the ones that you use to purify from cuts and wounds, then it is here a need. There is a need for it, then you use it. There is a need for it. Other than that, stay away from it if you can. Some of the modern ulama, they differentiated according to what the scientists said to them. They said the alcohol that is used inside those eau de cologne, or what do you call it, aftershave, called in Arabic colonia, and the alcohol that is in the perfume, it is not the same alcohol that is used for intoxication. It's totally a different type. And that's why they say if you were to open it and leave it, it doesn't evaporate unless if you put it in the sun. So, yani, this is a difference of opinion. The correct opinion, as we said, inshallah, it's not haram to use. That is the correct opinion, inshallah. And the best is to stay away from it if you don't need to wear it. No. This is to do with this chapter. We move to the following chapter. Is there any question to do with this chapter, Shabab? Yeah, he said, بَابُ الْآنِيَةِ لَا يَجُوزُ اسْتِعْمَالُ آنِيَةِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ فِي طَهَارَةٍ وَلَا غَيْرِهَا لقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشرب في آنية الذهب والفضة ولا تأكل في صحافها فإنها لهم في الدنيا ولكم في الآخرة. He said, it is not permissible to use utensils of gold and silver, whether for purification or any other reason, due to the statement that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not drink from utensils of gold and silver, and do not eat from its plate, for they belong to them, the disbelievers, in this world, and to you in the hereafter. Here, rahimahullah, he said that you're not allowed to eat, or drink, or use it, the utensils which is made out of gold and silver, which is made out of gold and silver. What does it mean? Now, how many ahkam he gave the Shaykh rahimahullah? How many ahkam, how many rulings? You cannot eat and you cannot use. Now, use, what is use? To use it as for wudu. Pick up the cup which is made out of silver and use it for wudu. Is it the only use? Is it the only thing you can do is to make wudu? No. For example, if you want to use it for storage, can you use it for storage? According to the madhab, you cannot use it. I will go into details about this issue a little bit, inshallah. So, we have three things we do with the gold and silver utensils. And I want you to differentiate between gold and silver utensils and gold and silver for wearing. We'll talk about that, of course, a bit later. But as for use, you have three halat, three things. اتخاذ, to use it for decoration and to keep for increase in the price. For example, to keep it as investment, pot of gold, pot of silver, or to use it to decorate your house as a pot of gold or silver. You have استعمال, use, the use of it. What is the use of it? For example, to have a jewelry box for a woman, and that box is made gold or silver. Or you have a box of silver where you put some, your wallet or your some precious things in it. Of whom? Some people have that. Or chain, keychain made out of silver. Or a pen made out of silver. True? And the third hala, the third meta, is to eat and drink with it. Now, eating and drinking, it's one opinion, no difference of opinion amongst the ulama, because there is a text. There is a text which is, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not eat or drink in gold and silver utensils. Now, as to keep for precious value, or to keep for decoration, according to the Hanbali madhab, it is haram. But there is another opinion in the Hanbali madhab that allows it. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said it is not haram to keep. It's not haram to keep. If you want to keep it to decorate your house with it, you're not going to eat with it. Some of the Lebanese, I don't know if you received that as a gift, they like to give a gift on a wedding day, this big box, which has all silver spoons and knives and forks. It's a nice gift. If someone gave you that gift and it is made out of silver, can you keep it? Because if you cannot keep it, then you cannot sell it until you melt it. If you cannot keep it, if you're on the opinion you cannot keep it as a decoration, then you cannot sell it. Not even to a kafir. Pay attention. Pay attention. Because I had this question asked this week. The point of selling something that is not haram in itself, but haram for a description that comes temporarily to it. Meaning, for example, the gold, is it haram in itself? That the silk, is it haram in itself? No. But you took this gold and gave it to a male to wear, then it becomes haram, isn't it? That gold, differentiate between the gold and alcohol and pig. Alcohol and pig, it is haram in itself. So selling it to a Muslim or to a kafir, to a woman or to a man, to anyone, selling khamra is haram. Full stop. Selling khinzir is haram. But silk, since selling it to a woman is halal, regardless whether that woman she's a Muslim or a kafira, then it's allowed, isn't it? But selling it to a man, to a Muslim man, is haram because you're encouraging him to wear it and fall into haram. Selling it to a kafir, this is the point. Selling that silk or that golden ring to a kafir, that's the point. Now, the ulama, and that is the correct opinion, that are the kuffar obligated with the branches of the sharia? What is the branches? A kafir, is he going to be punished on the day of judgment because he did not pray and because he drank alcohol? Is he going to be charged for that on the day of judgment? That's the question. If he's going to be judged on that, then what happens? It is haram to sell it to him. And if he's not, then you can sell it to a kafir. Before we go to the proofs, one would ask this question. Imagine someone does not say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and he fasts and he prays. Is his fasting and praying accepted? We say no, because the condition of acceptance has to be a Muslim. And that's why when you study, for example, the chapter of wudu and the chapter of salat and the chapter of zakat, we say the first condition, al-Islam, yani to have the shahada of tawheed. Then the act itself is accepted by Allah. But it doesn't mean the kafir is not obligated. He's going to get punished for his kufr and for his abandoning the salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and as we said, inshallah, the correct opinion that the kuffar are questioned and judged by the branches of the sharia as well as by the fundamentals of Islam, which is rejecting tawheed. So on the day of judgment, if the kafir, he's not going to get away from not praying. Not only he's going to get punished because he did not accept La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Also he's going to get punished because he did not pray and he did not fast and he fell into prostitution and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Muddathir, verse number 42, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. فِي سَقَرْ. Addressing the kuffar. What led you into Saqar, which is a name from the names of hellfire. And some ulama said it is Jahannam is darakat, is into down levels. So Saqar is one of those levels. Is there is Darkul Asfalu on an nar, piece of the hellfire where the hypocrites and Fir'aun and others are down. And there is little bit lesser punishment. And then you get the one which is the highest one, and for Usat al-Muwahideen, for the disobedient people from the monotheists. Said, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What has led you into Saqar? What was the answer? First they said, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not from the ones who used to pray. And then they said, وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we never used to feed the needy and the poor. That's second ma'asiyah. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِدِينَ. And we used to indulge in vain talk and idle talk. And وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And we used to belie and deny the day of judgment. The question here is, wouldn't the last one belying and rejecting the day of judgment, hatta atana al-yaqeen, until death came to us, certainty came to us, isn't that enough for them to be in Jahannam forever? It's enough. Why did they then mention all these other reasons? Because it is something they are punished for on the day of judgment. So since they are, there's other many proofs, but we're just concentrating on this proof now because that is from the Quran and the clearest in the mas'ala. And it's not an issue which is supposed to be discussed in details here. This has different field, inshallah, to talk about. The ulama here said, since they are mukhatabun bifuru' al-shari'ah, since they are obligated with the branches of the sharia, then you cannot lead them or give them something that is in the sharia haram. Alright, whether it is haram by itself, like khanzir, haram in its essence, yani by itself, in its essence, like khanzir and alcohol and so on, or haram for a description that added to it, which is for men to wear gold or silk. Mafhum? So we understand here the whole point. We go back to what we're talking about. We said three things: to keep, to use, and to eat and drink. We said eat and drink, khalas, we've done from that. Even if you have a silver plate and you have on it mangoes, you're not allowed to. You know why? Because you're going to eat that mangoes. So eating and drinking from it is haram. Tayyib, what about tray, silver tray, to offer on it? Some of them have silver trays. To offer on it what? Coffee and tea and also you're eating and drinking from it. Now, eating and drinking. Istamal, the use of it. The use of it, it is according to the Hanbali madhhab, haram qawlan wahidan. All the Hanabila, they agree it is haram to use. And that's why an imam, rahimahullah, he said here, and pay attention to what he said, it is not permissible to use utensils of gold and silver, whether for purification or any other reason. Because according to the Hanabila, you cannot use it at all. But he did not mention anything about using it for decoration because of the opinion amongst the Hanabila that some of them see it is allowed and some of them it is not allowed. What is now the correct opinion? What is the correct opinion that we're going to take? Here, let's pay attention. What does the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says? Do not eat and drink from it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not drink from utensils or of gold and silver, and do not eat from its plates. So here, it is haram. Yani major sin or minor sin? Major. Why it's a major sin? Because it is, the Prophet ﷺ, he said it is for them, the kuffar. It is for the kuffar. So it is a prohibited, strictly prohibited. Now, are we allowed to use and keep or not? This is what we want to debate. The correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, you're allowed to keep and use them, but not to eat and drink from them. The Prophet ﷺ, what did he say in the hadith? Do not eat nor drink. Who is the most eloquent of speech after the Quran? The Prophet ﷺ. Tayyib, I want you to imagine this in circles. Using it, using the gold and silver utensils to, for example, let's say a jewelry box or whatever. Using it, is it wider and eating and drinking more specific, or eating and drinking wider and using is more specific? More specific and using is wider. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do not use it at all, then obviously eating and drinking will become prohibited. But the Prophet ﷺ, he went to the smaller circle, which is eating and drinking. And the Prophet ﷺ, if he did not want you to use it, he could have said, do not use it. Go to the wider circle. You understand the point or not? So, it's two circles. Eating and drinking is the smaller circle because that limits the use of it. And using it for other things, it is the wider circle. So, if the Prophet ﷺ does not want you to use it at all, he would have said, what? Don't use it at all. Then of course, obviously, eating and drinking would be in the smaller circle, which is, it'll be inclusive in the judgment, in the ruling, in the hukum. But the Prophet ﷺ said, do not eat and drink. That means the use of it is allowed. And this is from the speech of the Prophet ﷺ. Secondly, if it is haram, and absolutely haram, the Prophet ﷺ would order us to break it. Like he ordered the Prophet ﷺ to break the idols and to cut off and remove pictures from, which is a hand. Also in Sahih Bukhari, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she had little tube made out of silver where she used to keep the hairs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mafhum? So use in it is allowed, and keeping it is allowed. The only thing that is not allowed is to eat and drink from gold and silver utensils. That is the thing that it is not allowed, to eat and drink from gold and silver utensils. But keeping them, to store things in them and keeping them for decoration is allowed. And the hukum يعني manutum bi'illatih. The hukum is attached with its reason. Yani the reason here is eating and drinking. So if you have them and you don't eat and drink from them, then inshallah you're allowed to keep them. And it is best to avoid giving silver spoons and plates as gifts, yani golden and silver spoons and plates as gifts to people, because jahl is widespread and people might use it for eating and drinking. Gold plated. Of course, we know that men are not allowed to wear gold. Now, we have gold-plated items, gold-plated spoons, gold-plated forks, gold-plated plates, gold-plated pens. Yeah, and you have a pen that has some lining in it. And you have, for example, subha, tasbih, that has gold braids What is the golden plated? Of course, you studied that in science at school. They put something inside the water and the other one, and then they give them electricity, and then the little molecules move from one bar into another bar, and then it attracts the gold and gets stuck on it. Of course, this is not allowed to use because actually it has gold on it. Yes, maybe if you cut it, you see the middle is not gold, but actually there's a layer of gold which turns it to gold. Even though the core of it is not gold, but there is a layer you can scrape off which is gold. So golden plated plates, you're not allowed to eat from them. It takes the same ruling and the same hukum. Wearing what golden watches. Now if it is a little bit, just dots of gold on the watch, it's allowed. But once you start, it appears like gold. Khalas, when you look at it, you say, this is a golden watch, then you're not allowed. But if there's little dots of gold on it, which is some watches they have, like the needle of the clock, if it's made out of gold, yani those needles and that, if they're made out of gold, that is alright, inshallah. Tayyib. But when it becomes gold, like when you see it, you say, this is a golden watch, then you're not allowed to wear it if you are a man. Another important point, which is pens made out of gold and using gold for medical reasons like tooth and that, inshallah, we'll explain them now. As for using, for example, the pen, first, the ulama who said it is haram to use, they said, the golden pen, it is haram to use for men and women, because that is using the golden pen and the silver pen. They said it's not allowed to you because you're using it. And that using is not allowed, remember. Because what is the reason for them? Pay attention. What is the reason for them? They said using it is haram. Type for the ones who say, no, using it is allowed. Only eating and drinking is haram. What would they say about using a golden pen, for example? They say it is allowed for men and women. If it is for what? For use, isn't it? But subhanAllah, I was reflecting on this. I said, Tayyib, using the pen for men now, let's talk for men, using the pen, there is another illah to it, where the men would carry it and have it with him and becomes part of his dress code. Then it is to be avoided if we adopt the opinion, which is the correct opinion, that you're allowed to use gold and silver, because we spoke about the adillah. So, for men, to stay away from it, silver pen and golden pen. For women, they can use it, if we say using is allowed. $2 pen that you buy, which is painted gold, which is if you scrub it with your nail, it comes out. This is just a color, and it's not real gold, so it's nothing. This is you can use. So we understand the issue of the pen, and according to that, you can do the qiyas from that. Same thing, wearing glasses. The frame, some glasses, the frame is gold. Or it has gold in it. It has gold in it, or silver in it. That glasses, for women, according to the opinion, do we say the glasses falls under wearing or using? The illah, the reason behind the glasses. Is it wearing or using? That's the issue. I say, Wallahu A'lam, both illah in it involved. Wearing and using. So even if you are on the opinion that you're allowed to do isti'mal, use, then you are wearing it. Then it is allowed for women to wear it and a man not allowed to wear it. If you are on the opinion that use is haram, then wearing it for both men and women not allowed to. Why? Because of the illah of using. Can you see the point? Using. Because it has two illah to it. Using and wearing. And the glasses you use. Now someone could argue then the frame is a decoration and the woman is allowed to decorate herself with gold. This is then becomes open door to difference of opinion. And as you see, it becomes like just a small dividing line. Then avoiding, when it comes to that so much, that the dividing line is so thin, to avoid is better. فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ. Whomever stays away from the misconception, the gray area, he has He protected his religion and honor. But in reality, wearing glasses, it has two illah: use and wearing. Now, what about the teeth? Golden teeth and having golden parts of the body. They used to be in olden days. Now they use different material for medical reasons. They don't use gold and silver as they used to. Here in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and in Abu Dawood, both they have put a chapter about مَا جَاءَ فِي شَدِّ الْأَسْنَانِ, what has been narrated in tying the teeth together. طيب. And they mentioned the hadith as a dalil of that عَفْرَشَ بْنِ أَسْعَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, and to write around it, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, اتَّخِذْ أَنْفًا مِنْ ذَهَبْ, take, يعني make one, put one from gold. For medical reasons then, you can put covering for your teeth, that crown, golden crown and silver crown or whatever the dentist use, and there is no problem with it, inshallah. So this is sort of some of the issues of wearing gold and silver. Now, also I want to, couple of points before we move on also. Another point talking about, what about if you used golden pots and silver for wudu? Let's just say you used it for wudu. Is the wudu accepted or is not accepted? The wudu is accepted and the using is haram. The using is haram, according to the one who says you're not allowed to use pots from gold and silver. According to the ones who say you're not allowed to use pots from gold and silver, can you do wudu with it? The wudu itself is accepted, but the using is haram. Now, let's just analyze the issue, because I want to bring you back to the principle, and that's always the fiqh, is to go back to the principle. What we call infikakul jiha. The ulama call it infikakul jiha. The hukum is divided. The ulama who say for a woman not allowed to go hajj without a mahram, but she went to hajj, is her hajj accepted or not? The hajj is accepted, but her going without a mahram is a ma'asiyah, a disobedient. You understand? The hajj is accepted. Tayyib, let's just say, we say for example, using duff, only little girls are allowed to drum the duff, and a man are doing the duff and a chanting nasheed. Pay attention. Now, you opened the radio and you listened to it and you enjoyed it, because there's a difference between sana and istima'. That we're not going together. You open the radio and you listen to this nasheed, that there is a duff in it. Are you sinning or not? And let's say the ones who are using the duff are men, not little girls. Yani there is an opinion that says the duff is allowed if a little girl is beating it. Al-Jawari, as the hadith mentioned. Tayyib, if a Jawari beating the duff in a wedding or a walima or something, and you listen to it, is it haram? No, it's allowed. Tayyib. Let's say a grown-up man, they're the one who beating the duff, and they saying nasheed, which is allowed nasheed, of course. No shirk in that nasheed. Tayyib. And you listen to it. Are you allowed to listen to it or not? The ulama said, your listening to it is allowed, but the one who is sinning is the one who's beating it. Because that sound, regardless whether the one who beating a little girl or a grown-up girl, is the same sound. So you listen to it. Can you see? Your listening to it is allowed, but the one who's beating the drum, he is the one who's sinning. Mafhum? That's what the ulama call infikakul jihad. Pay attention. And that's why making wudu from a pot that is gold and silver, according to the isti'mal, making the wudu from it is, the isti'mal is haram, but the wudu is correct. Mafhum? Pay attention to this, because these golden rules, you don't find every day. And there, and you will never understand fiqh. You will always become a muqallid, an imitator, until you understand qawa'id fiqh. If you don't have this qawa'id, you will always, anyone can convince you with anything. A difference between Ami, if there's an eloquent speaker, speaks to him, and he gives him the dalil and the debate, he says, yeah, you're right, you know that, you're right. You go to next door, he listens to a different argument opposite to the other argument, he says, yeah, you're right. طيب, what is the difference between the two? Because he doesn't have principles that he's following. And he takes it to his principles. He said, no, hang on a minute, the principles says otherwise. مفهوم? And this you will see also as we move on. Now, and then here he said, وَحُكْمُ الْمُضَبَّبِ بِهَا حُكْمُهَا إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ الضَّبَّةُ يَسِيرَةٌ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ مِنَ الْفِضَّةِ طيب, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ الضَّبَّةُ يَسِيرَةٌ مِنَ الْفِضَّةِ. If the same rule applies to the metal band used to repair them, unless it is a tiny piece of silver. What does it mean? Back in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, back in those days, they used to have cups made out of clay. First, before we talk about that, he said حكم المضبب. المضبب التضبيب is to put linings of silver and gold in it. To put lining of silver and gold into some utensils. Here he said the same rule applies to the metal band used to repair them. That it is, yani the same rule, it is haram. Unless it is a tiny piece of silver. Here he said, unless it is a tiny piece of silver. So, here al-mudabbab, if you get the cups which is has lining, silver and gold and lining, then you're not allowed to use those cups, for example, or utensils. And then he said, except if it is a little bit for silver, as in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his cup was broken, and then where the place was cracked, he, yani on the place of the crack, he put a like silver chain into it, like he filled it up with silver. Back then, in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in those days, it's not like us. We break the cup, then we throw it away. They used to take cups from clay and use it. Now, if it cracks a little bit and start to leak, then they cannot buy another one. It's just could not afford it. So what do? They fill up those cracks with silver. So a little bit of silver is allowed. A little bit of silver is allowed. And based on this, for example, when we say like the hands of a clock, the hands of a clock, because it's a little amount of silver, the Sharia overlooks it. Mafhum? The Sharia overlooks it.
That was for the repairing purposes, right?
Uh-huh. For repairing purposes, but doesn't matter, because it's a small amount. It's a small amount. Because it is a small principle of amount. It is not a big amount. That's why. Here the ulama, some have said it is related to extravagance. And this is a sign of extravagance. That's why it is for them, يعني it is a sign of extravagance in this life. In the fiqh, this is illa غير معتبرة. We don't look at this reason. You know why? Because there's other issues of extravagance Muslims wear and do. And then, if we want to take that as the valid reason of it, then what would happen? Anything that is sign of extravagance becomes haram. Can you see? That's why we stay away in fiqh from this ilal. But if you're talking about targhib and tarheeb, heart softeners, you can use that reason. But in fiqh, this illa is not looked at. You understand what I'm talking about? If I say you the reason behind the prohibition of gold and silver, then what would happen? If I say it is the sign of it, extravagance. Like, the reason behind alcohol is intoxication. That's why you say drugs is haram. But if I say to you the reason behind the prohibition of eating from gold and silver is extravagance, that anything that people consider as an extravagance, the use of it become haram. Can you say that? That's why we stay away from that when we talk about fiqh, because we don't want to confuse the people. طيب. Here he said, ويجوز استعمال سائر الآنية الطاهرة واتخاذها. ويجوز استعمال سائر الآنية الطاهرة واتخاذها. Here he said, it is permissible to make use and possess all other piwa utensils. Here, what does it mean? The Shaykh is saying, rahimahullah, he said, any utensils other than the gold and silver, as long as it is piwa, you're allowed to use and to keep and to use. يعني for example copper,
yes,
metal, aluminium, anything. طب why he said pure? Because remember they used to store the water in bags, and those bags can be made out of skin. They are actually made out of skin, aren't they? If this skin is the skin of a pig, you know, that's why he said الطاهرة. شفتوا الفقهاء, they do not put you a word except they have a purpose behind it. They're not like us, they talk for 40 minutes, you don't know what the heck is talking about, you know. No, every word has to have a meaning, not just to fill up time and fill up paper. No, he said ويجوز استعمال سائر الآلية, and it is allowed to use all other utensils. الطاهرة, he described the ania to be pure, because maybe that ania, that utensils or something that you use, could be made from skin that is haram to be used or impure. It is haram because it is impure, like the skin of a pig, as we will talk about when we get to it. واتخاذها, and to keep it for, to use it, to keep it, to eat, drink from it, to eat and drink, and to keep it. Let's continue then. Here he said, واستعمال أواني أهل الكتاب, as well as to use the utensils of the people of the book and their clothes, so long as they are not known to be unclean. Now we want to talk about the utensils of Ahlul Kitab. The Sharia, ya ikhwa, gave us allowances, and in many things. Why? Because the Sharia always considers how people are living. The Muslim, no matter what he does, he's always going to live with Ahlul Kitab, except if you are in Mecca or Medina. And the Sharia gave specific rulings to the Ahlul Kitab, which is our dealing with them, marrying their women, eating their food, and also using the pots and utensils. Here we said, and it is allowed to use the pots and the utensils of Ahlul Kitabi and their clothes if we do not know that it is najas. طيب. What is the dalil for that? And can we differentiate between this, and there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said in it, and it is in Bukhari and Muslim, عن أبي ثعلب الخشني قال قلت يا نبي الله. أبي ثعلب الخشني, he said, O Prophet of Allah, listen to the adilla and how it is put together. طيب. He said, يا رسول الله, يا نبي الله, O Prophet of Allah, إنا بأرض قوم من أهل الكتاب أفنأكل في آنيتهم. We are people who live with Ahlul Kitab, in a land that there is Ahlul Kitab in it. Do we eat from their pots and utensils? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, أَمَّا مَا ذَكَرْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, as, because it's a long hadith, but this is the part what we need. He said, as for what you have mentioned from Ahlul Kitab, فَإِنْ وَجَدْتُمْ غَيْرَهَا فَلَا تَأْكُلُوا فِيهَا. If you can find other than these pots, so do not eat in it. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا فَاغْسُلُوهَا وَكُلُوا فِيهَا. And if you cannot find except them, then wash it and eat from it. That, ya ikhwa, today is supposed to be a golden rule in our life living in the Western countries. Al-rukhas that we see, yani we, as if it is something that is open for you to do what you like when you go to restaurants and everything. Now we treat it as a khalas. He puts your halal McDonald's, you see there is more Muslims than there is non-Muslims in it. Without even going through, yes, is it only the issue of that the halal exists, the meat is halal, or there is other things that can follow into it. But first, let's go and see what is the ruling on using their pots. Here, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he said, and it is allowed to use the pots of Ahlul Kitab in their clothing if you do not know they are najas. طيب, what is the dalil? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, they drank from mazada. طيب, what is mazada? Mazada is a bag that you put water in it. طيب, من مزادة مشركة, from a polytheist woman, not Ahlul Kitab. If you're allowed to drink water from the utensils and the pots of the mushrikeen, then Ahlul Kitab, which is are closer to us than the mushrikeen, then they are more deserving to be used. And also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ. And the food of the ones who have been given the book is allowed for you. Are they going to give you the food without a pot? They never give you in a pot. So are you using their pots? Can you see? These are adilla that you are allowed to use their pots. But the Prophet ﷺ in another hadith made it clear that if you can't find other than their pots, you use their pots. طيب, let's continue with the adilla. The first dalil, that the basic principle about al-awani, the pots, is to be what? To be pure. طيب, regardless of it is from Ahlul Kitab or not. Second dalil, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to eat from their food. Of course, obviously, we have to use their pots. Also, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a young Yahudi, he invited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to khibis sha'ir. Khibis sha'ir, yani to a bread made out of barley. Wa ihalatin sanikha. Yani ihala, some of the dips you can eat. طيب. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drank from mazadat imra'atin mushrika. He drank, as we explained, it is from a leather bag that you put water in it. All of this are adilla that we are allowed to use their pots and their utensils. Here, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allow us just like this? Or if you cannot find except their pots? See, now there is no household that does not have pots and pans. So there is no need for you to go on your Christian door, next door neighbor, and borrow it. Unless, as it happens, for example, in Lebanon and in Australia, where their neighbors are close to each other, and they got a machine. You know, the machine that you mix the things in it, the cocktail machines, and the one that you dice the meat and all that. If you want to borrow it, because not many people can afford these machines, that slices, machines that you juice with and so on. And it is known, yani when we grew up in Lebanon, that the neighbors borrow this, and sometimes your neighbor from Ahlul Kitab, you borrow it from them, or they come and borrow from you, can I use? So this exchange existed amongst them. In the days back then, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people did not have money to own pots and utensils as what people today. In the days of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person who have one plate and one cup, that's all he has in his house, and he gets some people coming over, he goes borrow from his Ahlul Kitab. No, alhamdulillah, you have them in bundles. But still till today in Lebanon and some other countries, they borrow those machines, which is to dice the meat and so on. What we do then, because you need to use it, what do? You wash it before you use it. You wash it before you use it. Now we have to a modern issue. I walk into a restaurant who, for example, let's say sandwich shop, has got knives and utensils and everything. And any place that sells pork. So you're not meant to be there in the first place. The basic principle, as the Prophet ﷺ said, if you find no way out, then take it and wash it. If it doesn't sell pork, for example, some of the restaurants, they cater for Muslims. And part of them getting the license in Australia, halal stamp, is not to cook bacon inside their restaurant. Then from here, even if it is owned by Ahlul Kitab, there's no problem. But if he cooks bacon and he uses bacon in his food and everything, then once he wants to use, yani he makes you a sandwich, do you want me to cut it? I said, no, thank you, don't cut it, just give it to me like that. So you need to be careful of these things. As for, and this is another issue, we have to pay attention to it, a person, he gives fatwa that you're allowed to enter a restaurant that serves alcohol and sells pork as long as it's not on your plate. Or a halal restaurant that has the sign halal, that doesn't sell pork or anything, but it has a nice sign BYO. Yani bring your own filth. So this type of restaurants, are we allowed to be in them? That's the point. And of course, we're studying fiqh, we need the adillah. We can get emotional. A'udhu billah. So no, we need the dalil. I heard one of them says, he says, as long as it is not on my table, then what's it to me? Then opens the door of what? You find now the brothers have no issue to take his hijabi wife into a restaurant, and that restaurant smells alcohol 3 miles away. So it's not on my table and I'm ordering seafood. Shuf the shaitan. The shaitan works in an amazing way. And he simply will not speak to obedia. And brothers now are taking this. They go to some famous seafood restaurants in the city. And they take their wife and everything as if it is 100% halal. And we are living at a time that our brothers who, they grow on their beards, holding on to the religion, exist with their fingertips. Any fatwa that comes, why? Because the nafs, I want you to understand this, the nafs are still jahiliya nafs. He hasn't unskinned himself from the jahiliya, but he loves Islam. The good thing about him, he loves Islam. But let's see the adilla, why you're not supposed to be in this restaurant. The first thing here, inside that restaurant, is it halal practiced or haram? And is this haram apparent or hidden? It's apparent. It's apparent. So what is the basic principle about a Muslim? What should he do? مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ. Whomever sees a munkar, let him change it. Change it with what? With his hand. If he cannot, with his speech. If he cannot, with his heart. You're putting yourself in the munkar. It is not like you grew up in the household that your father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, drinks alcohol. Then you can't do anything. He's your father and you're young, you can't do anything. The best thing you can do is to talk to him and make dua. It's apparent. It's apparent. But this is you taking yourself and you're putting yourself in the environment where there is munkar in front of it and you're not doing anything about it, yet you are agreeing to it because you're sitting not doing anything about it. Mafhum? This is the first dalil. The second dalil is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, said in the Quran, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ. Surah Al-Nisa, verse 140. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that if you hear the verses of Allah are disbelieved in and mocked, do not sit with them until they changed the subject into another one. Otherwise you are like them. So is the orders of Allah are being broken inside that restaurant or not? Are they broken or not? The serving of the pork, probably you're not eating pork, but there's others eating pork. The serving of alcohol, the drinking of alcohol, the 90% naked woman, and you're sitting there. If you cannot change it, then you need to leave. Because you're sitting in a place where they're breaking the ayat of Allah and the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you are just like them. If the azab comes on that place, are you going to be spared? If Allah looks down at you amongst these people, Allah looks down at you in a nazrat maqt, despising you, or in a nazrat of mercy. All this you need to put into perspective. Fiqhan, it is not allowed. Why? Because you're seeing something haram, and you're sitting and agreeing with it. That you say, maybe I'm disagreeing with my heart. But here, you're putting yourself. You can't say, I'm disagreeing with my heart. You say, I'm disagreeing with the heart when you're forced. And you have no means of changing. But you're taking yourself and you're putting yourself. Difference between the two. Mafhum? Having this sign halal, it doesn't mean you can be there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he seal the verse? إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Allah is going together the hypocrites وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. Because if you sit with them and you agree with them, then you're a hypocrite. They are kuffar, and if you sit and agree, then you are a hypocrite. See the ayah, how the divided, the ones who mock ayatullah, disobey Allah, that's kuffar, and the hypocrites. As Allah, as you agreed to be gathered with them in this dunya, then you're going to be gathered with them in the hereafter. And also, you do not know what they are putting in the food. The meat may be halal, and the basic principle that the Muslim has to investigate and make sure the food is halal. You have to investigate. You can't just say, Wallahi khalas halal. Wallahi, I know some mashayikh in Sydney, they even watch out from the ones who have license halal. Why? Because they say, because they're not 100% sure that it is killed halal. Yani, it's so much of cheating that is happening in the industry. And also, you are using their pots and utensils. and the basic principle using their pots and utensils according to the hadith. Is it for need or just an allowance? Need. It is for need. Combining the adillah, it is based on what, ya akhwa? On need. Differentiate between need and necessity. Necessity, darura, it's different. Need is a lesser degree. For example, using their pots and pans is based on need, not necessity. Because necessity, that means, khalas, you're going to die if you don't use it. This is based on need. And there is no need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, made things easier for you to cook in your house or to take your food and go sit near the beach if you're really dying on sitting near the beach or the harbor. Or, alhamdulillah, there's so many Muslim brothers who have Muslim restaurants, and it's part of allegiance to the Muslims that you give them your business. Because they pay zakat on their money. And the kafir, he might use it against the Islam and Muslims. This is some of the points, yani, I wanted to highlight, and I'm eager to highlight, because a lot of the brothers have taken this malicious fatawi without going, taking it back to the principles of yani the sharia and qawaid al-fiqhiyya and the adillah of the fiqh. As for the clothing of the kuffar, can we use the clothing? Yes. Because what is the dalil? The basic principle, the clothing is allowed. Doubt does not nullify the certainty. So it is not haram to wear the clothing, hence, but all the clothing that they make and you buy, that is allowed, unless the material is haram or it has some pictures according to sharia. Otherwise, it is allowed and halal to wear and use, and it's not najis. Now, he said in Al-Sharh Al-Kabir, Al-Sharh Al-Kabir is by Al-Maqdisi, not Ibn Qudama, by Abdul Rahman Al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, he said, which is he commented on the Muqni, he said, لا نعلم خلافا في إباحة لبس الثوب الذي نسجه الكفار. Yes, so he says, we do not know any difference of opinion about the allowance of wearing the clothing that is sewed and tiled by the kuffar. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه إنما كان لباسهم من نسج الكفار. Indeed, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions, all their clothing was tailored and sewed by the kuffar. So there is no issue in that. We move to another point, which is the wool of the dead animal is pure, so is its hair, and so is its hair. So here he said, the wool of the dead animal is pure, and so is its hair. Now, he's talking about the dead animal. Animals are into how many types, ya ikhwa? We have two types mainly, which is haram, the flesh haram to eat, and the flesh halal to eat. And the flesh halal to eat is divided into either maita or slaughtered. Always keep this division in your mind. So here when he says the suf of the maita and the hair of it is pure and allowed to be used. Of course, when he says the maita, then the basic principle is what? The ones that is slaughtered according to the sharia is allowed. So we're not discussing that. We're discussing the maita. A maita, an animal that died by an accident and so on, as the ayah yani described them. That animal there, the suf. Let's say you have a sheep and you hit it with your four-wheel drive and died. Matiha, this one. You sheared it and you took the wool. Are you allowed to use the wool or not? The correct opinion, it is allowed. طيب. What is the reason behind it? The illah. The reason behind it, that the wool, the hair and the feather, the basic principle, they have no life. Meaning if you grab your bead from here now and you try to pull it and break the hair, would you feel any pain? So it has no life. Pay attention. It has no life. Because what do you get from the animal? And that's what we're going to talk about. Flesh, bones, skin, hair. What we mean with the hair? The wool, the hair, and the feather. Pay attention. The flesh, khalas, finished. We know, khanzir haram, maita haram, and so on. The bones, we'll speak about it next week. The skin, next week. The feather, and the hair, and the wool. That's what we want to talk about. The feather, and the hair, and the wool of an animal that is allowed to eat and slaughtered is allowed. Khalas, finished. طيب, what about a maita? The correct opinion is it is allowed. طيب, why it is allowed? Because this What is the reason of najasa? In reality, the flesh and whatever comes out from the flesh, like the blood and the life in it, the life in it. Hence, when you shear off the wool, that wool, whether before you shear it or after you shear it, still what? It does not give any pain. And it's not based from blood. Not like the skin. We'll talk about it. And the hide. We'll talk about it next week. So when you shear it, it's only wool. Then you're allowed to use it because it has no life in it. Like the nail. The nail has no life in it too. Then you're allowed to use it. Now, what about the one that you're not allowed to eat? Like, for example, the dogs and the donkeys, the elephant and the birds that you're not allowed to eat. Some of the birds, like vultures and all this. Are you allowed to use them? The correct opinion, inshallah, you're allowed to use them. Why? There's no life in it. It does not come out of blood. There's no life. You're allowed to use them. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, since we're studying Hanbali madhab, yani about the wool, now we're talking about the baita, he said it is pure bil ijma'. It is pure bil ijma', according to the consensus. Not like the piece that you cut from the flesh while it's still alive. Yeah, let's say sheep still alive, you cut off its leg. Or had a car accident, and then the leg got broken, you went to fix it straight away so that the sheep doesn't die, but you cut off that leg, and you said, okay, we'll have this leg on in a pot and we cook it. And then, you know, you stitch the sheep, you want to keep it alive, and you took the leg off. Can you eat that leg? No, it's maita. Why? Because there's a dalil, a hadith for that. But the suf and the shearing, Imam Ahmad, about the maita we're talking, yes? He said, I do not know anything yani to that. As for the hayawan, the animal that you're not allowed to eat, like a siba, like the lions and the domestic donkey and the vultures and all that, what is the dalil? Here the dalil that it does not have life. Type, this is basically it. Next week, and we need to get ready for Salat al-Isha. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.